from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer in today for Mina Kim. Coming up in the first half of the hour, farm labor leader and progressive icon Dolores Huerta joins us to talk about her playlist of meaningful music that the Oakland Symphony will be performing tonight. We'll also ask her about her recent endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris. Then at 10:30, a closer look at health claims for supplements that promise to counteract dementia and enhance memory. We'll talk with a UCSF neurologist who's been studying the claims and says, well, they're bunk, and in fact, they could be harmful. We'll get started right after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Mina Kim. Dolores Huerta, a lifelong community activist and pioneering feminist, is best known for co-founding the United Farm Workers of America. She also came up with the movement's famous slogan, Si Se Puede, which, of course, translates to Yes, We Can. Well, as part of the Oakland Symphony's playlist series, Huerta curated a list of songs that have inspired her work and that the symphony will perform tonight. We're going to be talking now with Dolores Huerta about her activism, her music, and welcome to Forum. It's so great to see you.
Well, nice to be here.
And I see, although you have a history with the farm workers, you have a button there supporting teachers in Oakland who are on strike. Have you been over there on the picket lines as well?
Not yet, but, you know, with my foundation, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, we're doing a lot of work on education. We're trying to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. And so that's, you know, I left the United Farm Workers about 15 years ago and have been focusing on organizing parents and communities to step up to the school districts and make sure that the monies that are appropriated are spent the way that they're supposed to be, especially special funds for low-income children, foster children, and English learners.
Well, let's talk about the playlist series. How did you respond when they first approached you? How did it all come about?
Well, it was kind of sudden, and they said that they were Oakland Symphony was going to do my playlist, and they wanted songs that had inspired me, especially when I was growing up. And so I had to search back into my childhood memories and as a teenager and a young adult, which songs were able to sort of guide me, or songs that really had an influence on me.
And just give us some context. Where did you grow up? What were you listening to as a kid?
Well, I was very fortunate. I grew up in Stockton, California, which had a lot of ethnic diversity, thank goodness. And so one of my best friends, Charles Satterfield, is African American. And so we were very much into music. And I was very fortunate that I had another cousin that was very much into jazz. So I was exposed to the really progressive music when I was only like 13 or 14 years old.
And so give us some years. You were growing up in the 40s?
Yeah, I grew up in the 40s, and I was exposed to all of the wonderful, wonderful music of the big bands, you know, at that period of time. And then my mother would buzz tickets to the symphony. And then I played
the San Francisco Symphony?
In Stockton, California.
In Stockton.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had, because of the College of Pacific that's there, we had a great exposure to many great musicians, Joshua Heifetz, you know, many of the great musicians that came through there, Carmen Amaya, the great flamenco dancer. And then I played the violin in school because that was the days when we had music in our schools.
Yeah, right.
So I had music lessons, I had dancing lessons. This is right after the recession under the WPA. And hopefully someday we can bring those days back so all of our children. And so I learned how to play the violin. I played in the symphony, in the school symphony. And so there was glorious days. And my mother bought a season tickets to the symphony every
wow,
year.
Wow,
you know?
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So music was a big part of your family then?
Very much. Very
did,
much.
Did you have any musicians in the family?
Well, my brother was a very good musician. I unfortunately had no talent, but my brother was very good.
You had other talents.
Yeah.
Yes. So when they approached you to put together the playlist, then mm-hmm. what did you start like sort of racking your brain? Like, what were you looking for when
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I started kind of, in a time warp, you know, when I was growing up. And so I tried to pick a music that I felt was significant in terms of, again, growing up, but then also significant in today's world also.
And so what were some of the, how many songs did they ask you to come up with for you?
Well, they asked me to come up with quite a list, and then they
narrowed it down.
Yes,
so they worked with you to
narrow it down.
Did,
yeah.
And so you said you were kind of stuck on a time warp. I mean, is that because the first things that came to mind were things from the 40s, like what, jazz, big band music?
Yeah, and I think the music that sort of influenced influenced me in many ways, and some of the songs that I picked, I think, are also relevant to today's world, like including John Lennon's song "Imagine," because we know that we have all of this talk about the border, and of course, in his song, one of the lines in his song is he says, "Imagine that there are no borders; that somehow we could use the resources of the world." So that everybody could have fair opportunities, everybody could be fed, everybody could have shelter. And I think that that's a dream that I think someday will come true, and hopefully in our world we'll see it.
Let's listen a little bit of it.
See if you try.
John Lennon, and of course, I think that song has been adopted by a lot of anti-war movements, and even at the time, I think of the anti-Vietnam War, that became sort of a popular song for anti-war activists, right?
And we were actually in New York City during the Great Boycott when he and Yoko Ono, that time when they kind of shut themselves up, and so we actually slipped a note under their door asking him and Yoko if they would endorse the Great Boycott. And the answer came back, yes, we do.
And then when I look at your playlist, I mean, that is one of the, I think, the most recent songs, right? Mm-hmm. That one, I think, was probably from right around, what would you say, 1972 or 3, I'm guessing?
Yes,
something like that. But like, as we said, some of these, you've got Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker. I mean, those are the kinds of bands and musicians you were listening to as a kid?
Mm-hmm. And the reason I picked the Charlie Parker, the April in Paris song, is because we are going through a rough time right now. But, you know, the poet Pablo Neruda said, they can cut all the flowers, but they can't hold back the spring. And so I thought April in Paris is a good, number one, it's got Charlie Parker in it, but it also signifies that we shouldn't despair, we shouldn't lose hope, because spring is right around the corner.
Boy, and that's a song, April in Paris, that's been done by so many different singers and artists, but you chose this particular version.
Yes, and also my birthday's in April.
Have you been to Paris in April?
No, I was only went to Paris once, but it was like in the winter.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of Charlie Parker. First time I went to Paris, I went in April, in part because of that song, and it was freezing. I think really May is the time to go, but it's a lovely song, but doesn't necessarily correspond with the weather.
I met Charlie Parker, and I always say that's my claim to fame. I met him here in San Francisco, and I was speechless. I couldn't say anything, and I was just, he was absolutely my favorite musician in the whole world, you know? I guess now it would be Carlos Santana, but then it was Charlie Parker.
And he's on your list also. We played something from him earlier. Well, let's open up the phone lines if you'd like to talk to Dolores Huerta about her playlist, about her activism, her endorsement recently of Kamala Harris. I want to ask you about that. Give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also tell us what your favorite songs are. What are some of the songs that inspired you if you had to put together a playlist, whether it's protest songs or inspirational music or just things that you identify with a certain time in your life? Give us a call, 866-733-6786, or you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. You, of course, were very active in the civil rights movement, the farm workers movement. What were some of the songs that you associate with, you know, with that era?
Well, one that's come to my mind recently with the Trump administration coming out against the transgender, you know, transgender ban in the military, and the freedom song about ain't going to let nobody turn me around, ain't going to let nobody turn me around. I'm going to keep on walking, walking toward freedom land. And so I thought about that song because I think it's a kind of a, now that we see so many of the gains that we won during the civil rights movement and all the pushbacks that we're seeing, that we've got to remember that song.
What role, when you were working with the farm workers, I mean, what role did music play?
Oh, a big role. You know, we were on those picket lines from early in the morning, from 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening or 7 o'clock. And so standing there all day long, you know, holding up a picket sign. And, you know, so these freedom songs really kept us going. You know, we would just sing, "We Shall Overcome," you know, "This Little Light of Mine." And we would just sing all of these songs all day long. And then, of course, Luis Valdez, with the Teatro Campesino, then he composed a lot of songs like "The Picket Sign" and "Huelga en General," which is, you know, a strike, a general strike, so to speak. And so he was able to keep us going with all the songs that he composed also. And then also the Teatro Campesino with the plays that they did every Friday night. So the strike was really beautiful because there was a lot of activity and a lot of music and, you know, so that's really what kept everybody going, because the strike lasted for 5 years.
Yeah. And of course, when you were growing up in the 40s, I mean, that was there was a lot of, you know, activism, labor activism, even back then, like Woody Guthrie and, you know, some of the other musicians there. They were, you know, even accused of being communists, you know, because of their politics. And, you know, some of those songs, I imagine, you know, were part of your repertoire as well.
And you may not believe this, but in Bakersfield, California, they still accuse us of being communists.
Even today.
Even today.
Home of Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy is my congressperson.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, why do you, given your politics, why do you choose to live in a place that is, you know, where you're, you know, it's a pretty red area? Bakersfield, the town, a city, is actually somewhat Democratic, I guess.
The county, we did good in the midterm elections, and we got, you know, some more Democrats elected to the Senate, to the Congress. But basically, this is where the work needs to be done. We, as I mentioned before, are trying to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. We sued our current high school district, and we won the lawsuit for them to stop the suspension and expulsion of African-American and Latino students who are not working up in the high desert in a place called California City, where the African-American students were being expelled and suspended 81%, 8 out of 10. African-American kids. And this is happening all over the country. So, you know, with our foundation, we're organizing the parents and the students so that they can stand up to the school districts. We're active in 11 different school districts. And the other thing, too, is getting our people elected to the school boards.
Yeah, that's sort of sometimes kind of forgotten, isn't it, the importance of the school boards.
Right. And I would hope that everybody listening will kind of check out their local school boards. And the other thing is, you know, there is a bill now for ethnic studies at the high school level. But ultimately, we have to have ethnic studies and labor studies and gender studies, women's studies, as starting with kindergarten, because we know that racism starts at a very, very young age.
Talking with Dolores Huerta about her playlist that's going to be performed tonight by the Oakland Symphony, and also her labor activism. If you want to give us a call and talk with her, the number is 866-733-6786. And let's go to Santa Clara. Valerie, welcome.
Hi, well, thank you. I want to say thank you to Ms. Huerta. When I was an undergrad at Loyola University in Chicago in the late 90s, she came to speak to us, and I was just mesmerized by her message, and was really inspiring for my friends and I. And then later, I came to work at Santa Clara University, and her organization hosted our students to really understand what are the complexities of this issue, what's the reality at our local public schools throughout California, and the work that needs to be done. And now as a parent, I'm trying to help, you know, raise my daughters to be bold and to really embody that activism. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've been touched by your life.
Well, thank you so much. I bet you hear that kind of thing from time to time, people you've spoken to many years ago who remember it.
Yeah, that's always gratifying.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, Valerie, you still work with students, it sounds like, yeah?
I do at Santa Clara University. I do.
Mm-hmm. What, I'm just,
on social justice programs.
Yeah. And what do you notice about today's students? I mean, in terms of how they view issues like this, has it changed over the years?
Students are really passionate and they want to create change in the world. I love that piece that you shared about Pablo Neruda because I think not finding despair, continue to stay hopeful. Is something that we talk a lot about with our students because I think some of them get almost burnt out by the time they're finished with their undergrad because they are so passionate and they're working so hard. But how can they sort of hold the long view and continue forward?
And Dolores Huerta, the activism of young people was important in this last midterm election, right?
Well, I always say that the big changes in society have always been by the young people. We saw that in the Green Movement. We saw it recently with the Parkland students in terms of trying to get rid of guns in our society. We saw that in the Civil Rights Movement, you know, when young African Americans were being, you know, put upon with clubs and water hoses, and these are the changes that happen. And I think we see that happening now with the Me Too movement, the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, it's happening.
All right, Valerie, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and let's go now to Oakland and Nargis. Welcome.
Oh, you got it. It's Nargis.
Hi, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Ms. Worth. I've been a longtime admirer of you. I grew up in the South Bay, and my father worked in the farms when I was growing up. And we're coming tonight, bringing my husband tonight, because my father passed away a year ago, and I know he would have loved to come with me.
So you got your ticket right away when you heard they were playing her playlist?
Yes, back in November.
Yeah. And,
I booked it, yeah.
And Dolores, you're going too, I assume.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where are you going to be sitting? Right in front?
I'm not sure. I think I might be on the stage. I'm not sure exactly where they're going to put me. But thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see you. And I feel, just real quick, it's even more relevant. I'm an Oakland parent, Oakland OUSD parent. Mm-hmm. And we are not crossing the picket line today. So we will enjoy your work tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, this is obviously very timely to be happening in Oakland tonight with the teacher strike going on there as well. Let's go to another caller in Oakland. David, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Dolores Huerta, and thanks for taking my call. Question is about Oakland and charter schools specifically. I've heard you speak recently, and it sounds like in general, you are opposed to charter schools, but in Oakland, you know, we've got about 16,000 students that attend our public charters, and most of those students are Latino English language learners that are being well served. So I just wanted to hear your comments on that.
Yeah, so it's a question about charter schools and whether, you know, your feelings about charter schools. And oftentimes the schools that are failing kids are full of kids of color, right?
Yeah, I think it's a very dangerous trend. We know that public education is the basis of our democracy. As Franklin Roosevelt said, our great president, that he would not take a dime out of the public school system or libraries during World War II. And this trend of having charter schools, of having our public tax dollars go to private for-profit organizations is very, very threatening to our democracy. It's got to be stopped. You know, when Pete Wilson was governor of California, he's the one that initiated the whole charter school movement. And, you know, at that point, I think he said they're going to have 140 charter schools in California. Now we have over 1,000. And it is taking tax dollars away. It's taking money away from our school system. At a time when, you know, California, we used to be number one in education. When I had my violin lessons in school and my dancing lessons in school, you know, we were number one. Now we are number 43. In terms of the money that is spent per student. Our teachers are not being paid enough. Their classrooms are too large. And this is a real threat to our democracy because we cannot have a democracy if we do not have an educated citizenry and residents of our country. So this has got to be a big issue, and I hope that everybody supports the teachers on this strike that they're now engaged in Oakland.
All right, David, thanks for the call. We could have a much longer conversation about charter schools, and we have, but we're not going to do that now. Let's go to Kampala in Oakland. Welcome.
Hi, this is Kampala. Dolores, thank you so much for your comments. We here in Oakland have been singing these protest songs on the on our strike line, Solidarity Forever, Which Side Are You On, and Talking Union. And, you know, we're out here on the strike lines fighting for smaller class sizes, for student support. Of course, we have a teacher retention crisis that we are really trying to improve by getting fair wages for teachers in Oakland. And again, you know, we need student supports. We need a nurse in every classroom. We need psychologists and really smaller caseloads for our special ed teachers so that they can really give students the one-on-one treatment and attention that they deserve. Today, we're going to have a rally at the Defirmary Park, and we really, at 11:30, and we're hoping that we could invite you down. It would be so meaningful, you as a former educator and labor activist, it would mean so much to Oakland teachers if you were able to be there.
All right. I don't know if you were able to hear that.
Yes, I really will try to make it there. I hope we can make it here. I'm in San Francisco right now. We will try to get there in time to join the strike. I was able to join the teacher strike in Los Angeles
a couple weeks ago.
And I totally support you. We know that our teachers are not being paid enough. You know, you can be a correctional officer with a high school degree. And here, when you're a teacher, you have to go to college, you have to get your bachelor's, you have to get your master's, and it's totally unfair. And I really support the teachers, and I know we're going to win. Si se puede.
All right. Thanks very much for that. Listen, before we're getting to the bottom of the hour, but before I let you go, I want to ask you about your endorsement of Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. You endorsed her, I think, last week. Tell me, how long have you known her, and you know, why did you? You know, there are a lot of candidates, I think, the progressives are excited about. Bernie Sanders just got into the race, for example, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker. You know, why did you decide to endorse her so early?
Well, I think Kamala really embodies what we need in the presidency. She's a person that really understands people of color. We know that our country is browning, she's somebody, and she's strong. We need somebody that's really strong, but at the same time, she's not. How shall I put it? She's not aggressive. I think she's assertive. Somebody that we can kind of place our trust in. And I know that some people are saying, well, you know, when Kamala was a prosecutor and when she, you know, she had to take certain positions. But I have spoken to her personally. I know that she really does believe in social justice. That is one of her tenets.
All right. Well, Dolores Huerta, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for sharing your playlist with us. And we're going to be going out here with some music from Dizzy Gillespie, Manteca, which I think is also on your list, named after the town of Manteca, perhaps?
I don't think so. I think, and the reason I chose that is because, you know, we learned a lot about Europe and Asia, but very little about Latin America. And I want to say to people, go see the movie Roma.
Roma, yes, I saw it the other night. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Dolores, thanks so much, and good luck tonight when you're hearing your playlist performed by the Oakland Symphony.
Thank you.